Dialing Up a Joint Venture.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Tess Vigeland. Two of Europe's biggest telecommunications companies are fusing their wires. Nokia and Siemens say they're developing a joint venture that will combine their phone equipment divisions. It's a big deal for both companies, akin to some of the big recent telecom mergers in this country. The deal is expected to generate $20 billion in annual sales. The Transportation Security Administration rolls out its long-awaited Registered Traveler program tomorrow. But as Marketplace's Amy Scott tells us, the program is expected to debut not with a bang, but a thud.
If you want to take advantage of the new Registered Traveler program, you'd better be flying out of Orlando. It's the only airport expected to be up and running by tomorrow's official launch. Logan Airport in Boston recently abandoned the program. Officials say the benefits aren't worth the $100 cost to users. Indianapolis is delaying its rollout, reportedly because TSA has yet to release its final guidelines. Joe Brancatelli runs a website for business travelers.
There is no tangible benefit being promised by the government. Without a tangible benefit, no business traveler is going to sign up for a pig in the poke.
The 25,000 travelers signed up in Orlando still have to clear a standard screening, but they get their own lane. Airports are under pressure from the airlines to reject similar programs. The airline lobby has written letters to 150 airport directors saying the program is an unnecessary drain on resources. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
It's been a rough stretch for publicly held media companies. Publisher Knight Ridder split up and sold 32 papers to competitors across the country. Now the Tribune Company, owners of the LA Times and the Chicago Tribune, is facing a similar fate. Elisa Roth tells us it's as much about the industry as it is about the individual companies.
The Tribune Company is in trouble. Its stock price has fallen nearly 40% in the last 2 years. Earlier this month, the company announced a $2 billion stock buyback program that was supposed to fix that. But the company's second largest shareholders aren't buying it. The Chandler family became big investors when it sold a rival media company to the Tribune. Now it says the Tribune needs to sell off its TV assets or unload its media business altogether. Ed Attorino follows the Tribune for the Benchmark Company. He says shareholders are interested in stock prices, not the state of the newspaper industry. But he says it's advertising that's the root of the problem.
Some has gone to the internet. There have been consolidation in retailing. You had all those phone companies. A lot of them are gone. The auto companies are struggling. The airlines are struggling. So a lot of that advertising has disappeared, and that has hurt the revenue streams of the newspapers, and the share prices have gone down.
Attorino says chances of the Tribune going along with the Chandler's plan are about 50-50. Either way, he says, it's the beginning of the end game for the Tribune. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Bankrupt auto parts supplier Delphi is offering buyouts to more of its hourly employees. This time, it's some 8,000 members of the International Union of Electrical Workers. Delphi and GM already agreed to similar buyouts with the United Auto Workers. Investors may still be recovering today from last week's whiplash, down 200 points, up 100. Overall, for the week, the Dow added 123 points, just over 1%, to close at 11,014. The S&P ended basically flat for the week at 1,252. The NASDAQ dropped 5. This is Marketplace. In Vancouver, British Columbia today, the United Nations World Urban Forum kicks off. The conference looks at the effect that rapid urbanization is having on cities and economies. Ashley Milne-Tight reports.
The UN predicts that by next year, more than half the world's population will live in cities, and a third of those city dwellers will live in slums. Molly Sheehan of the World Watch Institute says cities need to realize that rapid urbanization will only continue. She says investment in water conservation and land development is needed, so migrants aren't doomed to makeshift settlements on eroding hillsides or floodplains. But she says cities can't foot the bill alone.
One of the countries that's had the most success with reducing the number of slums over the last few decades is Thailand. The national government has worked hard to help out the local government.
Other countries are also catching on, Sheehan says. India has announced a plan to focus investment on its 60 largest cities during the next few decades. I'm Ashley Milne-Tight for Marketplace.
This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist magazine, which not only tells you what's happening each week, but why. The Economist, at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations, shrm.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Tess Vigeland. No matter how many times we hear it, the admonition rarely sinks in, does it? Read the fine print. And it is especially true when it comes to credit cards. All kinds of surprises can await when you open that monthly statement. Well, commentator Alan Sloan does read those little notices and spotted a change in his card recently that prompted some head scratching.
These are your standard credit cards, except instead of saying Citigroup on them, they say AT&T on them. Because about 15 years ago, AT&T got in the credit card business. And then in 1998, when the company was trying to figure out what to do with itself, it sold the card business to Citigroup. But even though the cards now say AT&T on them, the whole thing is run and pretty much owned by Citigroup.
This is essentially a cash rebate card of some sort?
Right. My particular card is a cash rebate card where you get back 1% on some things, 5% on other things. It's a fairly standard product in the credit card business.
Okay. So what is happening to that card now?
What happens is this card is being discontinued as of June 30th.
Why?
Well, if you can get Citigroup to tell you, you're better off than I am. The letter that I got said for business purposes.
So this happens all the time where, you know, your card can be discontinued. Usually they let you roll over a reward program or do something so you can keep all the stuff that you've accumulated. But that is not the case here, I understand.
Right. What's fascinating here is that as of June 30th, you don't have $50 in your credit account. Citi is just going to keep the money.
They're going to keep the money?
Yeah.
That you earned?
Yeah.
How are they allowed to do that?
Well, if you read the card agreement, it's very
clear. Oh, you mean the teeny, 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 tiny print that comes along with your bill?
That's it. That's
it.
Now, the problem most people run into with credit cards is on interest rates or cash withdrawals.
Right.
This is sort of the polar opposite problem. Instead of having to worry about what you owe the company, you have to worry about what the company owes you. I for the life of me, don't understand what Citi is doing. Some people are going to catch on. Wait a minute, I had $36 in my account, and they're just keeping it. And you wonder how many customers they're going to lose as a result of this. And on average, according to a fellow named David Robertson, who's a credit card expert, he says it costs around $300 for your average card company to add your average customer. So you sort of wonder how much money in the end Citi's going to save on this. But luckily,
they're going to get their $36, though.
They'll make their $4 billion a year in credit cards, and they'll annoy people, and life will go on.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek magazine. He's back in a week with another edition of the Sloan Sessions. And I'm Tess Vigeland. Thanks for being with us.
American Public Media.
Who in the heck would pay for radio when you can get it?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.